You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Again, quick tempo and picked off at the 1 yard line. That is Watson out in front. Sneed to protect him as well. All the way for the touchdown. Unreal.
Jalen Watson, the hero last night for the Kansas City Chiefs as they beat the Chargers 27-24. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes behind the glass. As always, happy to have you as we are at the 11 a.m. hour. Guys, thoughts last night? Amazon, Chargers, Chiefs, it was a fun game. But yeah, Jalen Watson, not the person you would expect to be the hero of the game when you have guys like Derwin James and Travis Kelce and the two young quarterbacks.
3 years ago, Watson was working at a Wendy's.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
Well, he was trying to find somewhere to continue playing football. I mean, you got to be so happy for the guy to be able to get back into the league and do that. God, working at a Wendy's must be tough. I wouldn't say it's like the Whataburger. Did you see that there's this headline this past week where I guess someone at a Houston Whataburger shot like someone from Florida? And the headline I saw online in the Houston Chronicle, it said, a Florida family... And I thought to myself, oh, God, here we go. And it was like, is suing a Whataburger in Houston because one of the Whataburger employees shot them.
Not good.
Not good.
I dip the fries in the Frosty at Wendy's. Do you do that, Sean?
Pro move.
Money yep. moves.
Wendy fries are fantastic.
Yeah, underrated.
They Wendy's, recently changed them for no reason.
Why?
Wendy's and are they Arby's not good are underrated.
They're different, but they're not like... Great. But yeah, Arby's.
Arby's is fantastic.
Arby's is all right.
I love Arby's. We have the meats.
We have the meats. Arby's has the curly fries, right? And we'll get back to football. Don't worry.
Arby's has curly fries important. And the Jamocha shake. Which is a milkshake with coffee in it, is money. They have a good BLT. Mozzarella Whoa. Sticks, bring it on.
I'm impressed.
I love Arby's.
I'm impressed by your fast food
Thank
acumen
you.
Here.
Thank you. Sorry. Chargers Chiefs.
Oh, hang on. One last take okay. on fries. It's Friday, baby.
That was the most, like, hold on one second, with the pin, like you're in the press corps. Like,
no, I got something to say here.
Okay.
On a Friday.
Oh, listen.
French Friday.
Hey.
Hey.
That's true. Good job.
Oh, now I got the pin.
I like that. Well, listen, I'm about to make a big point here.
Okay.
The best fries in the United States of America.
Okay.
You know where they can be found?
Where?
I know I'm slowly building this up. Checkers. You ever been to Checkers?
Oh.
Spicy curly
Rally's.
Fries. Holy yeah, it's and
Rally's.
It's a Rally's as well. Yeah, so it's a bunch of different places.
Rally's fries go hard in the paint.
I don't see Checkers that much or Rally's that much here. I could be wrong. There might be some, but when
there is one, Galleria area.
Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you for letting me
You're
know.
You're welcome.
When I was going to high school in Florida, I would go to Checkers all the time, and I would just get the fries. I love the fries. Like, yeah. The burgers are okay. I got to say, like, fast food burgers, I can't do them.
My
not
family
very good.
Did Fast Food Wednesday growing up. I am not a fast food snob. I love it. Bring it on. Kill me with all of the diabetes and whatnot that comes with it.
Speaking of diabetes, Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Chiefs and Chargers.
That was a Vanessa-type transition. Good job.
You're welcome.
Chargers, Chiefs last night. Yes. Love seeing guys like Watson succeed. And like seeing two young quarterbacks. As we hit on this earlier in the show, there were years after Manning, after Breeze, eventually we know we'll be without Tom Brady. Okay, who's going to be the exciting quarterback? It's nice to see a handful, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert.
I want to call him that now going
somebody
forward.
Somebody on Twitter said that Rudy Gobert and Justin Herbert need to reverse who has the French pronunciation because Rudy Gobert hasn't earned it.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert deserves to be called Gobert.
That's pretty mean. Gobert, but it's not surprising. I mean, you could argue that Rudy Gobert caused COVID-19.
Yeah, you could.
I mean, it's not accurate, but you could argue that if you're bored.
Which some people
did. And want to blame
did.
It on a foreigner. You can't call it the China virus anymore. We'll call it the Gobert virus.
You will not be bored on Sunday as the Texans play the Broncos, but they will be without their starting center, Justin Britt. He missed 3 days of practice in a row due to quote-unquote personal reasons. And Lovie Smith gave a very weird update about an hour ago on Britt.
Mm.
Justin Britt will not play this week. As I've told you, he's been out for personal reasons. We'll be able to give you more information a little bit later on today, but he will not play this week.
Can you say anything beyond that, Lovie?
Right now, that's all I can say is that.
Is Scott the guy?
I wonder if he's retiring.
What else? Personal reasons, and then I'll have an update later today. What else could it mean?
Let me be Windhorst here.
I mean, it could be a mental health crisis, but I don't see that.
I wonder if it's a career crisis, I don't know if I have this anymore. I don't know if I want to continue to play anymore.
He didn't look in the zone last Sunday.
He didn't. He even admitted it afterwards. I mean, he talked about how he struggled. There are a couple of specific moments, too, that you can look back at where he's just getting blown off the ball, and you're like, oh, boy. And it might be in the best interest of the Texans to have Scott Questenberry out there. I mean, Britt did miss a lot of practice this offseason, too. Questenberry was there. I'm not going to act like Questenberry is necessarily an upgrade, but Britt did not look good. Britt was taken out of the game for a little bit of time on the sidelines as well. And if you're taking three personal days off in a row, hopefully nothing is going on in his personal life. And I'm 100% speculating here. I don't have any extra information.
Yeah, me neither.
But I think there's a lot of things that you can put together and say Justin Britt might be retiring after what was a really shaky first performance. And it does make me pretty concerned about Davis Mills and his just ability to stay upright against Denver, let alone to progress. This is, I think, going to be, to look at it from a positive perspective, a tremendous opportunity for Davis Mills to show that he has a little more chutzpah than we saw this past Sunday, where he got hit from the blind side once, and who wouldn't be maybe, you know, looking over their shoulder after you get hit on the blind side as hard as Mills did on that play where he fumbled. But against a very, I think, loud Denver crowd with an offensive line that's once again going to be sort of figuring out communication with a new guy in the middle of all of it, this is adding up to what might be a long day for Davis Mills.
I need to see Davis Mills look more resilient. I need to see the offensive line communicate better, and I need to see more of Damian Pierce in order to be more confident in the Texans. They can lose, and those three things can still happen. Paul, what three things do you need to see from the Texans in order to feel a little bit more confident?
Well, you can't get beat deep if you're in the Texans secondary. So, I mean, I would say number one is for Davis to show some chutzpah in there. And two is keep everything on top. Pete Carroll used to say this to me constantly about, you know, the defense when we interviewed him on Mondays after games.
Humble brag.
I know it was. He would say
to me,
defensively, you have to stay on top.
Yeah.
And what Russell Wilson is great at, especially off the play action fake, is throwing the ball downfield. Courtland Sutton, good player. Jerry Jeudy, phenomenal talent. Those guys can get past you. And I wonder, after a week where it did feel like the Texans were giving a lot of cushion, if they decide to change their mindset. But what has worked historically against Russell Wilson is having your defensive backs just make sure that they don't get beat over the top and forcing him to settle for plays that are right in front of him. And what's crazy is very often the plays that are over the middle, he will not see them. And that's good for the Texans linebacker core that has not been very good.
Yeah.
They are not very good in coverage. And I would ask what linebacker group is, but unless Jalen Petrie is going to be cleaning up all their messes, you know, I feel like there will be a lot available for the Broncos tight end. So that's number two. And I guess as far as number three goes, I want to see Damian Pierce get the ball more. Yeah. I think we all do.
Yep. Sean, three things you need to see from the Texans to feel a little more confident.
Like Paul said, the secondary not getting beat deep. They're going to be really tested with Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Of course, Russell Wilson as well. I always want to call him Russell Wilson.
I know, me too.
He does not beat you deep, but Russell Wilson does. Also, number two, being better on the offensive line. Just being able to move people, get something going in the running game, whether that is just Pierce instead of Burkhead, or if you know, if it's going to be Burkhead, getting more push with that offensive line. And then just offensive consistency, especially from Davis Mills, not falling apart like they did in the second half last week. Just being able to have a complete game for 60 minutes of competent offensive football.
There you go. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, you got to hear the story about Arch Manning and the lengths that UT went to get him. Plus, will A&M bounce back against Miami? That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
This was an interesting nugget from Front Office Sports this morning. It says, in June, Arch Manning made an official visit to Texas along with nine others. The school spent $280,000 in 48 hours per The Athletic. Airfare, cars, five-star hotel, parents open bar, custom cakes, Top Golf, an ice sculpture, and a cruise on the lake.
What did the
Arch
ice sculpture
Manning
look
committed
like?
3 days later.
Do we have a picture of the ice sculpture?
I don't know. I want to see the ice sculpture.
Why would you want to give someone an ice sculpture? And
it's very random.
When did this trip take place?
June. And he committed 3 days later. So
how long did this ice sculpture last?
I don't know.
Did they put it in his hotel room?
You can put him inside.
Yeah, that's true.
True.
No, it was probably
you
in
know what?
Like the football.
The
like,
Astros did a really cool ice sculpture for the World Series that they had up in the suite area because I go to the suite sometimes.
Mm,
must be
nice.
So fancy.
But it was very nice ice sculpture. So whatever, maybe it said Arch pick us. I don't know. Nine players total with each two parents, so it's probably 30 people. $280,000 in 48 hours. It's not egregious, right? The airfare, the five-star hotel. But very interesting. Texas knows how to oil that recruiting machine for sure.
Oil that recruiting machine.
Smith, it's a well-oiled recruiting machine.
Lubed up, that's
all
for
right.
sure.
Whoa.
Well, what? I mean, you're trying to warm, you know, reception.
For... We're talking about students.
No, we're talking about lubing up a recruit to go play for your team. What? I love your backing out. We're just talking about like making all of the moves necessary.
Oh my God.
To seal the deal,
Sean, rescue me.
To make it easier for them to enter your program.
Yeah. To enter.
Yeah. Hopefully not the transfer portal.
See, I've never had you speechless, so I want to pat myself on the back for that one.
It's just because it involves you know high school students, and I am not.
Here's what I'm talking about here. I'm just talking about the recruiting process. That's it. They got him into the program. Guess what? Good job by them. They did all that they were needed to do. And we'll see what happens next. I mean, I don't know if he's ultimately even going to play next year because I'm curious about what Quinn Ewers is going to do. Like, if you're in a season where
it's
you play
just
awesome.
That I'm not Mary Kay Letourneau.
Who's that?
Do you remember the teacher that had kids with the students?
I'm not trying to make you feel that way. I'm just having fun with innuendo.
Yes, absolutely. But
you're so uncomfortable. I love this. I mean, now I have you on the ropes. Like, I kind of want to just make you steer your head on into the iceberg.
I have never backed down from a conversation.
No,
like this.
I'm honestly.
You're enjoying it.
I'm very much enjoying it. Look, I mean, they did what they had to do to get him in. Again, we'll see if he's actually any good.
Yeah.
Sean's even standing away from this.
No,
am I about to get canceled or fired?
No.
We're going down. We're going down with the
it's
ship.
Different
like beard face.
It's different because you guys are guys. I'm a woman, and if I'm talking about young recruits,
yeah.
It comes across as Mary Kay
Letourneau-ish. Not everyone's as, you know.
It's a courtship. It's a flirtation.
He's a gunslinger. Paul's a gunslinger of a radio host.
Okay, so if I was talking about young volleyball players and all this, would you guys back away from
I would say I'm bored. Let's move on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's volleyball.
Not
who
interested.
Cares?
Well, okay. all right. But it does bring up the conversation of UT and where UT is at. They looked great against Alabama. They looked certainly solid under the leadership of Steve Sarkisian. But Sarkisian has been coy on the quarterback situation with every media outlet he's talked to in the past week. Here's Sark.
I think from the quarterback perspective, I was really proud of all three of the guys. You know, they all, in my opinion, progressed this week. Quinn and Hudson got healthier and healthier as the week went on. I thought Charles did a good job with getting the more, you know, managing the more reps that he got. I felt like his comfort level, his confidence was as good as I've ever seen it or better. So that's a real positive for us that all three of those guys, in my opinion, got better as the week went on. Again, you guys can keep poking the bear on what I do at quarterback. At the end of the day, I'm not going to give you game planning decisions or how we practice. There's a reason you guys don't come to practice, right? If I wanted you to know who took snaps, I'd let you come to practice.
We saw this at the end of yesterday's show, and I mean, man, he's really playing it close to the vest. I have no problem with it whatsoever. I did find it surprising that I guess Quinn Ewers is theoretically a possibility on Saturday. That seems absolutely outrageous against UTSA, and the Horns are a 14.5-point favorite against UTSA, who has definitely been scrappy to this point this year. So it's between Hudson Card, who also was injured, Charles Wright. I am curious about Roshon Johnson, if that's a guy that they might use more than just in Wildcat packages, because that's a guy who was a four-star recruit as a quarterback coming out of high school. So, I mean, that is a weapon. That is something that the Horns have in their back pocket. But you know what? If you're looking for an edge, and it's not like you're playing you know, left-handed nose picker of the poor state, you are playing a team with a pulse in UTSA.
A&M bouncing back, possibly, they're hoping to, against Miami.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
Because if you saw this morning, and about bleeping time, the Aggies benched Haynes King for Max Johnson. This is at least per the Battalion, which is the student newspaper up in College Station. And on top of that, Billy Lucci of Tech Zags. Max Johnson, who is the son of former NFL quarterback Brad Johnson. You might remember him from winning the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a guy who played at LSU. He's played in 19 games, so he's got experience. I feel a lot better about this game going into it. And once again, it's just on Texas A&M's offense. I feel pretty good about them with a quarterback with a little more experience. He doesn't have a weird hitch in his step when he throws. And with all the skill players that A&M has, they just have to actually block. Like, their offensive line has not been good the first couple of weeks of the year either, which is why it was so plotting to move the ball against Appalachian State. But I feel very confident in their defense, even if they are going up against the Miami
team.
If
they go 0-2 to start the season, Fisher is under some scrutiny, right, sure.
Against real teams, because they did beat Sam Houston State to open things up.
Oh, that's right. That's
but
right.
Like, that doesn't, that doesn't really count.
All the love to Casey Keeler, head coach Casey Keeler, at Sam Houston State.
Miami's quarterback is this guy named Tyler Van Dyke, and ever since he talked trash going into a game against NC State, like, he's been pretty damn good. He said, yeah, NC State is a great defense. That doesn't matter. They're still the same guys we played last year. We put up 44 points on them, and ever since he took over for Derek King, he really has looked damn good. But, to be SEC guy right here, I do declare that the Aggie defense is something that the University of Miami, these gentlemen that are down in the south of Florida enjoying their linen pants and the Miami nightlife, I don't think they understand what it's like to go up against the core of cadets on the defensive line for our Texas A&M Fighting Aggies.
Oh, my God.
I got to say,
Southern Paul is back.
I think that for this game with Max Johnson, they should win. But I don't think any Aggies feeling good about it. I've talked to all my friends, and everyone's sort of like, yeah, screw this already, which is pretty depressing. I at the very least know the Aggies I know aren't the really annoying delusional.
I just need the
yell leaders ones
to disperse. I need that not to be a thing anymore.
Can I tell you about some of the yell leader stuff? I found out some things. Okay, so there's a song called "Cows on High" that they sing at the yell rallies.
It's called what?
Cows on High. 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 Keep them high. Cows on High. Aggie faithful. Cows on High. That's one of the chants.
Want
to hear another chant?
Sure.
It's called Horse Laugh. Riffity, riffity, riff, rap. Chiffity, chiffity, chiff, chaff.
This is not real.
Riff, rap, chiff, chaff. Let's give him a horse laugh.
No way.
Yes. Want to hear something
A&M
else?
A&M fans chant these things.
Want to hear something else?
Why not?
I could keep on going.
Yeah.
At one point in the middle of the Aggie yell, midnight yell, stadium lights are going to shut off. When the lights shut off, all students must kiss their dates.
This is so dumb.
Students who don't have a date light their lighters. They hold them in the air so single Aggies can identify each other.
This gives me PTSD from growing up in the church and going to singles events.
Mugging down is what it's called for the couples. And flicking your Bic is for the singles.
What?
Because you put the light up. And then the singles. No. Listen, we're not going to do 2 HR violations in one segment. Come on now. Flipping your Bic. That's for the singles. So there you go. By the way, there's the train of truth at the end of Midnight Yell. The yell leaders and members of the band lock hands to form a tunnel. Fans run onto the field and through the tunnel. And once they've made it through the tunnel, they face the press box and say one truth. It is said that the ghosts of Kyle Field collect the truths and release them to faithful Aggies of the afterlife. You want anything else?
So after all the kissing, then they run train?
Ghosts.
Yeah. Do you want more?
Well, they flick the
face. Would you like to know more? To quote Starship Troopers.
Yeah, keep it coming.
Okay. So to conclude the Midnight Yell, and this is just a part of the whole process. After a victorious home football game, the yell leaders are tackled by the freshmen in the core. They are thrown into the fish pond. Afterwards, the Aggie band meets up with them, and an informal yell practice ensues on the steps of the YMCA building. should the Aggies lose a football game, a yell practice is held in the stands to display the continuing support for the Aggies team and to prepare for the next game. So that
is
Midnight.
Do you think Jimbo Fisher ever just is like, why? When he looks over and sees men on the sideline screaming, cows come home or whatever.
I have to think that they purposefully, like, do not tell
ignore
people
it.
This. Like, they just, you learn this freshman orientation if you're not a football player. Like, you just cannot tell serious professional football coach Jimbo Fisher, like, so this is some of the fun stuff we do. And him be like, all right, yeah, just keep that over there.
Awesome. you do that, and we are going to do the football.
And I do want to say, most Aggies I know are normal. They are very normal. This is like a very select group of people that go to this Midnight Yell stuff, and generally they are socially awkward people. I don't want to hate on the cadets. One of my cousins is a cadet. I love him very much. Also a normal kid. Very normal.
But there's sure.
He is. He is. He's a Boy Scout. I love this kid. He's like my little brother. But there's enough people like this, which is why the Aggies have that reputation as being cultish. And I feel for the normal Aggies because this is very much the minority. But that stuff, like reading the details of this, I had never read them. I read them last night and I was just like, oh my God.
I will say this with all seriousness. I do believe everybody needs a thing and a group to be a part of. I don't care if it's theater, marching band, sports, Dungeons and Dragons. My sister used to LARP, live action role play. Whatever you need to do to have a group of people I believe in, it's just a bit much. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Nick Saban thinks that playing bad teams is a bit much. You'll hear from Nick, plus our Pick 6 segment coming up. But first, Paul's going to tell you about his friends at BUSR.
BUSR.com/ESPN. Honestly, you might want to mush me because I've been god-awful. Do you know what I was on my picks last week? 1-5. And the only thing I got right was Texas covering against Alabama, which honestly makes me look even more like a crazy person or perhaps a homer horn. But that said, if you go to BUSR.com/ESPN and you put down a deposit, they will double that deposit within the first 24 hours. We do have some interesting games. Look, you can mush me on this one. Texas A&M's favored by 6 against Miami tomorrow night at BUSR.com/ESPN. I am taking the Aggies. I think that getting Haynes King the bleep out of Dodge is going to help this team at the very least score enough points. I think the defense will hold on. The offensive line, it needs to get better. Hey, looking for an NFL pick to potentially mush? Well, guess what? The Bucs are playing the Saints on the road. I do not think that Jameis Winston is going to have a good day against a very good Bucs defense, which we saw Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys. The Bucs are favored by 2.5. Give me the Bucs. Do all of those picks, or you can play roulette. You can play whatever kind of gambling you see fit, blackjack too, or just pick on the games, pick on futures, make prop bets, make parlays. BUSR.com/ESPN. Double your deposit today. Play today. Win today.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one! Unbelievable!
He is gone! Kiss McKinney goodbye!
But Vanessa and Gallant are going to pick 6 games.
There's 6!
Pick 6!
Wow, that's got pick 6 written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
Indeed, and we will get to picking our game soon. But first, I want to play you some Nick Saban audio. Saban has some noteworthy press conferences every now and then. They are playing Louisiana Monroe tomorrow. And here's what Nick Saban had to say about the subject of playing subpar teams.
I respect what it takes to win. All right, didn't I say this on Monday? What does what's your favorite in a game mean when you're favored by 20 points and you lose? Like two teams did this week. What does it mean? It means the people favoring you either don't know what you're talking about or the players playing got affected by that. Neither one of them are good.
There you go.
Thank you, Nick. I like how Nick subtly took a shot at teams that...
I know, he's playing the team he's about to play. Which, look, they're going to beat Louisiana Monroe. Spoiler alert.
I think the shot was more indirectly at the Aggies. Ooh, you're favored by 20 against the team, and
right.
You
lose. Got it.
But that's just me. I don't know. I think that Nick Saban has tried to distance himself from the war of words with Jimbo Fisher, who's like, I don't ever want to hear from him again.
Yeah.
So, Nick Saban, everybody. To his credit, I mean, he does a very good job of, at the very least, making the media focus on the next next opponent.
He can twist. Nick Saban can twist and manipulate like an old Southern woman when he wants to. We had a bad week for our picks. Sean was 2-4. Paul and I were 1-5.
Yeah,
yikes! I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah. So standings for the year: Sean is 4-5, first place.
We all picked teams, in case you guys aren't familiar.
I'm 3-6 in second, and Vanessa 2-7 in third place. So we gotta step our game up. So we got 6 games. These are the 6 most watchable games this weekend. Not the most exciting weekend in college football. Not the most exciting weekend in the NFL either.
There
are some games.
Saturday games. We have BYU at Oregon. Oregon is favored by 3.5.
Afternoon game between two ranked teams. You know what? I kind of think that the Pac-12 is soft. I'm always going to feel this way about the Pac-12. We did just see BYU knock off Baylor. I suppose that you could say, will it be a letdown spot? They're going on the road. I like the Storm and Mormons.
There you go. I do too.
To cover against Oregon, who is favored by 3.5 points.
I like the Storm and Mormons to cover as well. BYU is a team that I think is a little bit underrated. I guess they're ranked 12th right now, but yeah. I'm going with BYU as well.
Take down Baylor. How about that?
Yeah, I'm also going with BYU. Just Bo Nix being the Oregon quarterback.
That too.
Can we not?
Like, no, it's great. I like it.
For Oregon, can we not? For Oregon's benefit, can we not? There has to be someone else.
Having lived up in Washington, you meet Oregon fans. Now, they're not quite as self-important as Washington fans, but they're pretty damn annoying. So, this is like a hateful, spiteful pick on my front, too. So, they deserve Bo Nix. Phil Knight, he employs child labor in China.
Oh.
People don't talk about that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Actually, they do. There have been several Washington Post articles, but yeah. All right. On ESPN, you'll have Miami, number 13 Miami, at number 24, Texas A&M, with their Yell leaders on hand chanting about cows. Texas A&M is favored by 6.
Moving to Max Johnson was the first step in the right direction. The offensive line has to get better for the Aggies. We have not seen a very good performance from them the first couple of weeks of the year. But I think that this defense going up against an ACC team, I feel like they can hold Miami at bay. They just have to score points. You have a ton of skilled players. Miami certainly has talent, so I'm not acting like this is going to be a cakewalk, but I think that the Aggies should cover. I do. They're favored by 6. I'll take them by 6.
All right. For the sake of being different, and because I'm not sure I like what I saw from the Aggies.
Going to mush me.
I'm going to say no.
You got the Hurricanes. Yeah, you didn't like the yell leader thing.
Been a major turnoff. The fact that Jimbo continues to be able to recruit well, but their results aren't always there. But yeah, it's mainly the yell leaders, I'm not going to lie. Just not feeling the ROTC vibes. Sean, what say you?
6 is a lot of points for Texas A&M to cover. I will say that, considering they're probably not going to... I mean, maybe they do. They're playing possum, and now they're going to light up the scoreboard now that Max Johnson's in the picture.
It's all been a ruse.
Give me Miami. I still think A&M could win, but by 6 is, like, weirdly a lot of points for these guys.
They lost by 3 last week, right?
Yeah, they scored 1 offensive touchdown. Their other touchdown was a return.
All right, let's move to the NFL, y'all. Tom Brady, Paul's Lord and Savior, Bucks at Steelers. Bucks are favored by 2.5. Is it Bucks at Steelers or Bucks at Saints?
Excuse me, Saints. I wrote the wrong thing in there. Look, the Bucks are playing with a great defense right now, and while the offense has definitely some issues that they need to clean up, I mean, they kept on stalling when they were driving on Dallas in Sunday night's game. I think that Jameis Winston, especially given how volatile he was just in this first game, like the first couple of quarters, not very good. Fourth quarter, he's lights out. I feel like the Bucs defense is a much better matchup than the Atlanta Falcons defense for him. So I think that the Bucs finally get one over on the Saints in the regular season. I will take the Bucs 2.5-point favorites.
I'm going to go with the Saints. I think that the trend continues very Colts-Jagsian, where they cannot win in Jacksonville. It's just a weird thing. You explained this to me the other day as a Tom Brady fan and a stan of Tom Brady. I'm going to go ahead and take the Saints.
Okay.
Sean.
I'm also going to ride the trend of the Saints weirdly having the Bucks number. I just think it's one of those things where everyone has their kryptonite. And maybe there's still enough residual Sean Payton left in that building.
Yeah.
I guess we find out, is it a Sean Payton thing or is it a Dennis Allen slash just the like jerseys and the actual people on the field thing?
Pain everywhere.
Pain everywhere.
Dolphins at Ravens. Ravens are favored by 3.5.
So this one, if I'm to be consistent believing that Baltimore is the best team in the AFC, that they will win the AFC crown, I pick Baltimore. So I pick Baltimore because of that. I do think it's worth mentioning that last year Miami beat them 22-10 and they made Lamar Jackson look bad. Is Tua Tagovailoa anything special? I mean, he didn't look very good against New England. That New England defense might be plus, but I don't think they're a great defense by any means. I didn't like the way he looked. So I'm going to take Baltimore here, the home favorite by 3.5.
I'm going to take the Dolphins.
Wow, we're just picking opposites all day today.
I actually really, really believe in the Ravens in a big way, as I've said. But I like what I saw from the Dolphins last week, even if it was just against a not New England type New England team. But gotcha. I think that the Dolphins could. Would it be the Dolphins covering?
It would be the Dolphins covering because the Ravens are 3.5-point favorites. Yes,
I think the Dolphins can cover.
Okay.
Gambling noob over here, Sean.
I also like the Dolphins here. Just the Ravens weren't quite as impressive as you would like them to be
against the Jets.
A team that started Joe Flacco a quarterback. Not even the Jets. A team that started Joe Flacco a quarterback. You cannot only score. Well, they only scored 24, right? It was like 24-9 or something.
Yeah. Cardinals at Raiders. The Raiders are favored by 5.
I mean, I'm mad at the Raiders for failing me last weekend against the Chargers. Everything is adding up to the Cardinals, like having one of the most disastrous seasons ever. J.J. Watt should be back. Their defense looked so wretched. I mean, I feel like the Cardinals should be able to cover in this one. I don't think that the Raiders are maybe as impressive as I thought they were going to be going into the year. But like, I feel like I got to stay away from anything Cardinals right now. So I'm going to take the Raiders. The vibes are bad in Zona.
I'm going to agree with you on that, Sean.
I cannot pick Arizona.
No.
I just cannot do
it. I don't believe in them. There's nothing about them that I believe in. From Kingsbury, his coaching. He's the reason Pat Mahomes was drafted so low. You have J.J. Watt, who's broken. Love you, J.J., but you're broken. DeAndre Hopkins suspended. Kyler Murray plays video games. I don't get it.
Yeah, I think they're actually a bad team.
Yeah. All right. Last but not least, Texans at Broncos, it's Mr. Unlimited.
Ball time in Houston. Yeah, a little bit of a combination there.
You know what? I'm going Texans. I believe, baby.
Nathaniel Hackett coached teams should not be 10-point favorites. So I, Vanessa, am also going with you. I don't think the Texans are going to win. I do think Davis Mills is going to have a rough day. But
they can cover.
I just think that Nathaniel Hackett sucks. Like, he looked so bad in that game, and it wasn't just the field goal. Like, there were a lot of bad decisions along the way of that game. I'm going to take Houston to cover at the very
Sean
least.
Sean Mapes, finish us out.
Broncos country, let's ride.
No. You're taking Denver?
Give me Denver.
Oh,
all right,
wow.
That's our pick six. We'll, of course, have the results of all of that on Monday. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, final thoughts on Texans, Broncos, and then, of course, Garbage Time. That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, if you haven't heard yet, Lovie Smith offered a kind of odd update on Justin Britt, center for the Houston Texans. Of course, Britt has missed the past 3 days of practice due to, quote, personal reasons. And when Lovie gave an update, he said that we would know more later in the day and that he would be able to give a specific answer later in the day more so than now. We played that audio a couple times throughout the show. So Scott Questenberry will be the center as the Texans play the Broncos. Not good news for an offensive line that really struggled last week.
No, not at all. This is a really difficult place to play, Denver. It is loud. I've said it a couple of times this week. You're going to hear it on the broadcast. I think they have one of the best fan bases in the NFL. They really do care. They've cared for a long time. And if you have a pass rusher like Bradley Chubb going up against an offensive line that has now Scott Questenberry in the center of things, that's going to be making calls before the play, who's going to be talking to the guys to his left and to his right, you're working Kenyon Green into the rotation already. Laremy Tunsil's getting used to the way that Kenyon Green's going to play next to him. You also have on the other side of things, too. I mean, you've got right tackle in Titus Howard, you know, a guy who's also acclimating to being back on the edge where he wasn't there last year. It's just a lot for 1 week to change on the fly after how badly things panned out in week one. So unless Scott Questenberry is a massive upgrade, and look, he's at least had some offseason reps with the Texans offensive line. Like, I just think Davis Mills is going to have a tough day. That offensive line in front of him has to be very good, I think, to keep him upright and to keep him from having just one hit where he gets rattled. And he has to shake it off better. You saw Justin Herbert shake it off, and that's what makes Justin Herbert one of the most special players in the league. I'm finally in on Justin Herbert. Took me long enough to get there. Mills, I do not know, has that yet. And to Mills is, in Mills' defense, I don't know how many quarterbacks have that period. The ability to bounce back after getting absolutely bludgeoned from the blind side and fumbling the football away.
We talked about things that we need to see. For me, I want to see Damian Pierce get more touches. That's logical. I need to see the offensive line look more in sync and communicate better. And then, Davis Mills, fall down, get back up. Don't let the momentum shift get to you as a young quarterback. I think it'll be an interesting week in Denver. I don't know that it's going to be the blowout that, you know, if you had asked us 2 weeks ago. I mean, this was the game where it's like, oh, God, they're going to have to start with the Colts and the Broncos. Last week didn't exactly go that way. Sean, final thoughts on Texans-Broncos, what you'd like to see?
I just need to see something from the offense that is consistent and can threaten the secondary of Denver just even a little bit. I mean, we saw last week in the Seattle game, Seattle versus Denver, where Geno Smith had something cooking for that first half, but then in the second half, they just shut him down. Now, the Broncos lost because they kept turning it over at the one-yard line. But at a certain point, I think that game was more of a blowout than – not more of a blowout. I think the Denver with normal turnovers, they win that pretty easily as opposed to lose at the end. So I do think that this Broncos team will come out a little bit better than we saw Monday.
Are we going to see better decisions by Nathaniel Hackett? Because that may actually be the bigger storyline than what's Russ going to look
like. Can't be worse.
That is true.
Can't be worse.
It legitimately can't be worse. And, I mean, I think some of the worst decisions that they made, too, weren't even kicking the 64-yard field goal. Taking the ball out of Russell Wilson's hand on the goal line when he's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's still a dual threat, that, to me, was bizarre. So, is Hackett actually going to have Russell Wilson operate within the confines of whatever his offense is, too? I don't know. I don't know that any coordinator is capable of that. Russell Wilson's been bitching and moaning about that his whole career, and you know, I understand Russell thinking his talent means that he kind of is going to be able to do whatever he needs to do, but people that follow the NFL will constantly talk about how whatever offense Russell Wilson is in is the Russell Wilson offense. It's because he just improvises so much. He has to respect that offense, whatever it is that Hackett has, which I'm sure it's not like a terrible game plan. He has to do more then look down the sidelines and try to bomb it deep. There's going to be stuff of open in front of him, and if Denver wants to win, Russell Wilson has to hit those guys. And I'll be honest, like that is an edge for the Texans, assuming they can prevent big plays, keeping everything in front of them, having corners that I think are more talented than what Seattle had this past Monday. That could help them at the very least cover a 10-point spread.
I'm going to maintain we don't need to see the Texans win to get more, to have more hope. I just think that we need to see crisper play, especially with that offensive line. Laremy Tunsil, you mentioned it. Titus Howard is back in that natural position. I don't think we need to see a win, but we do need to see a more confident Davis Mills. And for the love of God, if I hear Rex Burkhead's name, I don't know. No, it's a 325 game. I don't know who's announcing the game, but if I hear them say Rex Burkhead more than seven times, I'm suing Nick Caserio.
Wow, that's racist. What, you just don't want to see a white running back out there? Problematic.
All right. I can't with you.
Look, Rex Burkhead got way too many looks last week, and at the very least, they admitted it after the fact. I mean, that's the
Lux mentioned it twice.
Yeah, that's the one good thing that came out of this week is that like they see what we all were seeing on the sidelines. And I know that everyone watching here last year thought that there was too much Rex Burkhead as it was. And I know he had that one good game against the Chargers, but that's one game. He leaves a lot to be desired. And I think in particular, you know, you go back to that fourth down, or excuse me, the third down that led up to the fourth down where they punted at the end of overtime. Like, you're giving the ball to Rex Burkhead on third and short. Like, you're not giving yourself the best chance to win in that spot.
I said, at the beginning of the season, Rex Burkhead is the guy that when Lovie Smith and Pep Hamilton meet up and have off-the-record conversations, they say, yep, they love him here. We'll deal with it. We'll take the L and we'll choose our battles. But Lovie Smith seemed bound and determined to use Dameon Pierce more. All right, it's time. Garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Kyrie Irving shared a 2002 InfoWars video on Thursday where Alex Jones rants about secret societies, corrupt empires, and government overlords, supposedly wanting worldwide rule and a cashless society, total and complete tyranny. He shared it on his Instagram story, in case you're wondering.
Well, I mean, that's our Kyrie, you know. He's just kind of Kyrie.
Alex Jones? I mean, I can, like, say the earth is flat, whatever. Say that you don't believe and you don't want to get the vaccine.
The flat earth is turning the frogs gay.
But Alex Jones, isn't that the Sandy Hook guy?
Yes.
I mean, that's not the guy that committed Sandy Hook, but the guy that says it isn't real. That's really low.
Here's the thing about Alex Jones. Every now and then he has said something that makes sense, but, like, no one should ever trust anything he does after he said that, like, Sandy Hook was, like, a false flag. Like, Jesus Christ.
Well, even a wrong clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, that's a fair. See, that's the That's the perfect way to describe him. He's had like he's been correct about like a couple of things, but for the most part, just like completely outlandish and says stuff. Just talks out his ass completely. Who else do we know that does that? Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
I mean, great minds think alike. Dumb minds think alike too.
Great guy. Great article from my guy Bobby Reagan, based in Cincinnati for Barstool Sports. Virginia deserves to never win a game again after they reportedly refused to let Old Dominion have its team puppy on the sidelines. This is erroneous.
Yeah, even I can't defend this. It's a cute dog. It's like, whoa, little puppy. Now, I'm wondering what it is that maybe has them take issue with the mascot being on the sideline. Is it, I mean, because it would be one thing if it were talking in like the Colorado Buffalo, or we're talking about Mike the Tiger, or like some actual animal where Bevo, where if you bring them on the road, okay, maybe you're not feeling so good about them. But we're talking about a small puppy. It's not like this thing is, you know, a dire wolf puppy that's going to be able to run off and, you know, chop someone's
hand off. By the way, the puppy tweeted,
"Oh God,
to my Old Dominion football team, Virginia has told my team that we will not be allowed on the field, even though we are accredited with the service dog, etc. They are intimidated by my presence
dog on
the field."
He says, he's a service dog. Is he wearing the vest?
He did the paperwork.
He put in the work, and Virginia didn't accept him on the sideline.
The only thing worse than the amount of people, and I know some people actually do need service dogs, but there are some people who are clearly abusing the system.
It's getting bad.
The only thing worse is the people that will have Instagram accounts for their pet, and they act as if they are, like, speaking for the dog, and they'll say, like, "Ooh, my paw rent." Like, shut up.
My paw rent.
Shut up.
You totally date girls that have Instagram accounts for their dogs.
To my knowledge, I have not. That said, one of my best friends from college has a dog that has more Instagram followers than me by a significant margin.
Oh, does that? How does that make you feel?
I want to shoot myself every day that I see that dog post
up
on my IG.
Paul was really upset yesterday and said something and said a profanity. I said, "What happened?" He went, "My Twitter followers
keep on losing Twitter followers because my takes are that bad."
15. What was it?
So basically, over the course of the last calendar year, it's gone from 15.9 to 15.3.
Wow. Whatever will you do?
And meanwhile, this dog is like, "Oh, look at me. I'm a dog. My paw rinse brought me outside to go poop. They picked up the poop afterwards."
Maybe you should tweet more.
Silly paw rinse.
Maybe you should tweet more of
Aria. No, there's no hope to anything. Everything's bad and we're all going to die.
No hope, but you can
Happy
have
Friday!
Plenty of hope. You can have plenty of hope. The killer bees are up next from 12 to 3. That's next.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.